At the end of September, the U.S. Coast Guard brought charges against Lieutenant Lance Leone, the sole survivor of a 2010 helicopter crash in which three people from Air Station Sitka died. Leone was charged in the deaths of two of the crewmen on board, as well as the loss of the helicopter and dereliction of duty. The evidence against him was heard in Juneau in December. Friends showed up to support Leone, and his wife Ellen told KTOO's Matt Miller that she worries about the precedent the charges could set.
It doesn't bode well, I don't think, to other pilots in the Coast Guard to say that if you survive an accident, no matter what you did or didn't do, watch out, because they might come after you.
As of the deadline for this story, the Coast Guard is still weighing whether to recommend a court-martial against Leone or handle the matter internally. An ongoing story in 2011 was the city of Sitka's struggle with electricity. Sitka is running short of hydropower. Demand is exceeding the city's ability to generate electricity from two lakes, and in the meantime, the city is burning diesel fuel to provide additional power. And while the city works to raise a dam at Blue Lake, Sitkans have been urged to save electricity. The calls for conservation have been met with skepticism from some residents, including some who spoke to Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett during a party in September.
Two people in the group turned to me and said, "Is that really true? Is it really a problem?" And I was a little bit shocked by that, because I think every meeting we sit up here and something comes up about energy and we say it is really a problem. It's the biggest problem we're facing right now, and it is really the responsibility of every resident to help us with this, because it affects every single one of us individually.
If 2011 saw a lot of problems with electrical energy, there were successes from human energy, namely the hundreds of people who took time this year to restore the campus of Sheldon Jackson College. The college closed in 2007, but in January, its trustees gave the campus to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. After more than 18,000 hours of volunteer work and $400,000 in donations this year, the boards are off the windows, the lights are back on, and in June, the place was once again teeming with students. So much so that Roger Schmidt, the camp's executive director, could barely contain his excitement on the first day of camp.
One spot, you've got three kids playing their instruments in this gazebo. I go up a little further, there's a kid with a camera taking pictures of pansies that one of our volunteers put in this flower bed. And then you've got two girls painting on the other lawn, and camp hasn't even started. You know, I mean, it's like, what? This is too much. It's just great.
The deterioration of the historic campus has stopped, and while there's a lot of work ahead for the camp and its 19 buildings, there's a lot of optimism among camp supporters that anything is possible in the year ahead. Optimism is a word that could have been applied to Ben Grusendorf. The veteran lawmaker died in June. He spent 20 years in the state legislature, including as Speaker of the House, and he was mayor of Sitka from 1975 until 1979. He also had served on the State Board of Game. When he ascended to the Speaker's chair, he jokingly compared himself to a sacrifice victim about to be thrown into a volcano. And Karen Grusendorf says her husband's sense of humor served him well among young legislators who were guiding a relatively young state.
You know, the average age was definitely under 40, which is not the case anymore. They were young people looking for the future of the state.
Ben Grusendorf's loss was preceded by the death of Dick Eliason, a Sitka Republican who spent time in both the State House and the State Senate, including service as Senate President. His most notable act might be passage of a 1989 law that banned fish farms in Alaska, but his legacy was one of bipartisanship, says Jim Duncan, who served with Eliason in the legislature.
He was Republican, I was Democrat. We had a number of Democrats in that coalition who served with him. And, the reason we voted for him for president was because we trusted him. We felt he was fair. He was not always with us on every issue, but he was someone who would listen to you and who could be reasoned with.
Senator Dick Eliason was 85 years old when he died in April. Grusendorf was also an avid outdoorsman. In addition to his wife, he was survived by two children and four grandchildren. In February, Sitka said goodbye to Roy Bailey. Bailey had served on the school board and the Historic Preservation Commission during his time in Sitka, but his passing reminded us of something that happened to him when he was serving in World War II. A lesson, perhaps, in patience and justice. Bailey's squad came under attack near the French-German border in 1945. Army doctors did not believe Bailey's story that, as a Tlingit, he was the only survivor of an attack in which all the white members of the squad died. The army concluded his injuries were either accidental or self-inflicted, and they discharged him without acknowledging his service in combat. He was denied the Purple Heart that he had earned. His wife, Doris, said he was never bitter about it.
But he was hurt, deeply hurt and offended at not being believed. And so many years had passed that he had become resigned to the whole thing, and he just simply didn't talk about it, ever.
In 1995, that changed when then-Secretary of Defense William Cohen flew to Alaska and presented Bailey with the medals he had earned. Doris Bailey says after that acknowledgement, her husband became active in the VFW, talked more about his experiences, and even got in better touch with his Tlingit heritage. There was grief in 2011, but also joy, not only for lives well-lived, but for moments of community celebration. A brand new totem pole marked the close of a year-long centennial celebration for Sitka National Historical Park. It depicts eagles and ravens and salmon, but also a Russian plaque and a buffalo head, the symbol of the national park. It was designed by Tommy Joseph.
This art form has been evolving since the beginning, and this is another part of that. It's always been evolving. It's not a dead, stagnant art form, and it's a part of our culture that's alive and going forward.
Other celebrations included a Sitka fisherman being named Highliner of the Year by National Fisherman Magazine. Dan Falvey shares the award with fishermen in Cordova and San Francisco. The honor is not necessarily about the amount of fish anyone lands. Instead, the magazine's editors describe the trio as, quote, bona fide innovators and men of action, each in his own way. Falvey told KCAW he wasn't sure why he was chosen.
I got into fishing because I was up in Alaska on a summer adventure and ran out of money in Sitka, and hopping on a fishing boat seemed like the best thing to do. And then after a while on the boat, I got good enough at my duties on deck that I could actually look around and see what an amazing place Alaska is and what a unique perspective you have as a fisherman.
Falvey is the fourth Sitka fisherman to win the award. Subsistence fishing also made headlines in 2011. Sea Alaska Corporation's longtime selection of 11 acres of land around Redoubt Falls began to move forward, and that raised concerns from those who gather subsistence sockeye and from environmentalists like Andrew Tomes of the Sitka Conservation Society.
Redoubt Lake is one of the most important resources on the Tongass for Sitkins. This is where families go to catch their sockeye and fill their freezer. And to take such a critical place and move it from public ownership to private ownership sets a huge precedent and would be terrible for the community.
Jaylene Arujo is vice president and general counsel for Sea Alaska. She says the Regional Native Corporation wants to continue to allow public access to Redoubt.
Our intention is to ensure that there's no difference beyond, you know, from the current use of the site. And we'll do everything within our power to make sure that happens as long as the site is not negatively impacted.
Earlier this week, Mayor Cheryl Westover said the city, Sea Alaska, the U.S. Forest Service, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and other agencies would be sitting down to hammer out an agreement on the issue. Such a deal would have to go before the entire Sitka Assembly for final approval. This year in Sitka, we were also reminded that for all of our human interactions, there are some interactions with the natural world that can get our attention too. Many Sitkins were up all night in March, and a few even left their homes when an earthquake and devastating tsunami in Japan set off alerts here and across the Pacific Rim. The wave that showed up was only a couple feet high, and while there was some motion in the harbor, Sitka and the rest of Alaska escaped unscathed. And of course, some of us were jolted, if only for a few seconds, by a small earthquake that rattled Sitka in November. There were autumn storms that sank boats in Eliason Harbor, and wind knocked over a huge swath of old-growth forest along Beaver Lake Trail. Sitka physician Bob Hunter and his son Matt, a physics and math teacher at Mount Edgecombe High School, were hiking around Beaver Lake when it happened. Bob Hunter says it became windy, and they heard big trees snap.
we had stopped because the trail was, there was a branch down on the trail and it made it hard for the dog to get across. So we had to clear the branch out. So that stopped us. We thought, wow, that's fascinating. We'll let this happen and then go down and investigate. And then two trees closer, big trees, up on the hillside snapped and I yelled, retreat.
Crews will start to clear debris on the Beaver Lake Trail in early summer. Until then, the trail is closed. Cleanup work is ongoing in Sitka's Whiting Harbor, where volunteers and state officials are trying to eliminate an invasive species called Didemnum vexillum, or DVEX for short. The sea squirt covers everything in its path, choking out life, and has cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to eliminate in other states. Sitka is the first place it has been discovered in Alaska. So, what will we see in 2012? Last year at this time, many of the things we've just mentioned were unimaginable. Some of those things ended up as amazing discoveries, others as terrible shocks, and most of them somewhere in between. Raven Radio has been with you for 30 new years, and while we can't say with certainty what we'll be talking about next year at this time, we, like you, hope for the best. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.